When we look at status holders, who are status holders? Status holders are large exporters. They are business leaders who have excelled in international trade and have successfully contributed to the country's foreign trade over a number of years continuously. Status holders are expected to not only contribute towards India's exports, but also provide guidance and hand-holding to new entrepreneurs, to small-scale industry, to help in their export promotion efforts. Then only they become status holders. All exporters of goods, service, technology shall be eligible for recognition as a status holder. And status recognition depends upon the export performance during the current and previous two financial years and will be counted on the basis of FOB value of export earnings in free foreign exchange. As far as deemed export is concerned, the FOR value, because it is being locally supplied to a project in India. So, FOR value of exports in Indian rupees shall be converted to US dollar at the exchange rate which has been nominated, because the status depends on the quantum of US dollar of free foreign exchange. For granting status, export of performance is necessary in at least 2 out of the 3 years. When you are doing calculation of 3 years, at least 2 years, you have to have export performance. That basically means that if you have been in operation for 3 years or more than 3 years in even local goods, but you have started exports in the last 2 years, and within 2 years you are completing the projected turnover required to declare you as a status holder, still you can be declared as a status holder. Let us look at the various categories of status holders. As far as categories are concerned, you have got 1-star export house, 2-star export house, 3-star export house, 4-star and 5-star export houses. The value consideration in United States dollar in millions of dollars. 1-star is 3 million, 2-star is 25 million, 3-star is $100 million, 4-star is $500 million, 5-star is $2,000 million of exports in 1 year. This is export performance required to be completed if you want to get yourself declared as a status exporter to get additional export benefits. Well, when you are doing such huge quantum of exports and you are declared as status holders, you will definitely say, what is the privilege that I get? I have to have some privilege from the government. Yes, there are privileges being granted. A status holder shall be eligible for privileges as given here. 1, advance authorization and custom clearance for both imports and exports may be granted on the basis of self-declaration basis. You need not obtain certificates from various sources, government agencies, etc. Self-declare all export promotion requirements which you are required to submit to the Customs Department. Input-output norms which have been created by DGFT, if for your particular product it has not been declared, then you can get it fixed on priority basis within 60 days by the norms committee. And exemption from furnishing a bank guarantee for any scheme under the foreign trade policy. All such benefit schemes carry a bank guarantee. So you get an exemption from all types of bank guarantee. You also get an exemption from compulsory negotiation of documents through the banks. You need not give the document to the bank, negotiate it. Because give the document to the bank for negotiation will entail bank charges. No, you can send the document directly to your beneficiary over there, to the party to whom you want to sell the goods. But remittance and receipts, however, has to come through the banking channel only. Your buyer has got to send you the money only from his bank to your bank, and you have to get it through your banking channel only. And two-star and above export houses are also permitted to establish export warehouses. You can have an export warehouses where you can keep export goods without payment of GST or any imported goods, also without payment of customs duty. And from, those export warehouses, you export the goods. They are permitted for two-star and above export houses. Three-star and above export houses, they are all entitled to get benefits of authorized economic operator. What is an authorized economic operator? I'll explain to you in subsequent chapters. The status holders would be entitled to preferential treatment and priority in handling of their consignments by all concerned agencies, including customs, including the government agencies, as far as your allied acts are concerned. You will always get a priority. You can give self-declarations. You need not obtain certificates from third-party sources. Manufacturer exporters who are also status holders are eligible to self-certify their goods as originating from India. Now, you know, countries enter into free trade agreements, and based on that free trade agreements, certain preferential treatment in terms of applicable rate of duty is granted. And for that, the primary document is a certificate of origin. As far as that certificate of origin is required to be obtained from a chamber of commerce or any similar body. Now, as far as status holders are concerned, who are manufacturer exporters, they need not obtain from any third sources. They can do a self-declaration, self-certification of such export goods. And status holders shall be entitled to export freely exportable items on free of cost basis for export promotion. Yes, you can send out free goods also, subject to an annual limit of rupees 10 lakh or 2% of average annual export realization. During the preceding three licensing years, whichever is higher, it is not necessary that you give free of cost, but this is a special benefit being granted to the status holders. You see, I have been saying that you were granted for merchandising export under the MEIS scheme. Merchant Exporters Incentive Scheme. Now, the validity is over last year. But of course, certain benefits you are allowed to be to claim even after a year or so. But practically, it has gone into existence, and in place of that, we have got two schemes. One is ROSCTL, that is scheme for rebate of state and central levies and taxes. Okay, this is granted to support the textile sector, that is garments and made-ups, subject to certain specified conditions and restrictions. And here you have got Schedule 1 and 2, where rates of rebate of for state and central taxes and levies respectively for apparel and made-ups. Schedule 3 and 4 are rates for rebate of state and central taxes and levies respectively, which are applicable for apparel exports when the fabric only has been imported duty-free under special advance authorization scheme. So these are two specified conditions. One is where your fabric has been used from India only, and one where you have imported certain quantum. And this rebate is granted in the form of duty credit scrips. Next, we have the RODTEP scheme, that is remission of duties and taxes on exported products. This has replaced the previous MEIS scheme, and it is granted in lieu of remission of any duties or tax or levy chargeable on any material used in the manufacture or processing of the goods. It is also granted for carrying out any operation in India on goods that are exported. And it is allowed in case where such duty or tax or levy is not exempted or remitted or credited under any other scheme. That means wherein even a minor level of duties and taxes which have not been returned back to the exporter, they are all covered under the RODTEP scheme. And under this scheme, the remission is granted again in the form of a duty credit scrip. So, for a post-export EPCG scheme, also duty credit scripts were available. For status exporters, also certain duty credit scripts are available. Therefore, under RODTEP or RODTEP also, duty credit scripts are available. Now, what are these duty credit scripts? They are granted as awards under ROSCTL and RODTEP. The scripts and goods imported or domestically procured against them shall be freely transferable. That means it can be sold freely, easily from one person to another. There is no restriction on sale or purchase on such goods. The scripts are now granted in the form of electronic duty credit, and such electronic duty credit scripts can be used for payment of customs duties for import of inputs on goods. Not necessarily input should be for export production, no. Any goods which are imported, payment can be through these duty credit scripts. Payment of GST on domestic procurement of inputs or goods, services, including capital goods, can be done through these scripts. And any government fees that you are required to pay, you can pay by using these duty credit scripts. There is an aside scheme. Now, this is a very special, a very different type of scheme, not applicable to actual exporters. This is a form of assistance to states for developing export infrastructure and allied activities scheme. Exporters, for their export promotion, they need certain infrastructure, and states are required to build the infrastructure. So the Exim policy is granting certain schemes, certain benefits to the respective states who are building up special infrastructure for export promotion. The scheme aims to incentivize states or union territories to develop world-class infrastructure for export promotion measures. Like they are developing an export processing zone. So they are getting certain incentives for developing such an export processing zone. The basic thrust over here is to bring up big projects under this incentive schemes, having perceptible visibility and tangible impact on export front. The primary consideration is that the export promotion has got to be impacted by such schemes of the state government. Under this scheme, funding will be project specific. It's not a general funding. It is project specific. Project for specific export infrastructure. Export related infrastructure. Another form of export benefit I told you is deemed exports. That is goods not actually going out of India, but being supplied to India under World Bank aided project. So let's understand what is deemed export actually and what are the benefits being granted to exporters. Deemed export refers to those transactions in which goods supplied do not leave the country, but payment for such supplies is received either in Indian rupees or in free foreign exchange. And these goods are specified in the Exim policy and are manufactured in India. Deemed exports shall be eligible for any or all of the foreign benefits in respect of manufacture and supply of goods qualifying as deemed exports. That is, advance authorization or advance authorization for annual requirement under DFI scheme. That means any other manufacturer supplying goods under this scheme of DFI, they can get deemed export benefits. And such deemed exporters can also get this kind of advance authorization for duty-free import for their requirement. Then deemed export drawback. Drawback which is being granted to all the exporters to cover their duty liability. It is being granted to all exporters. And by the same yardsticks, it is also available to the deemed exporters. Input tax credit being granted to the exporters are also being granted under the deemed export scheme. What are deemed export supplies? Supply of goods against advance authorization for annual requirement and under the DFI scheme, duty-free import authorization scheme. Yes, they are termed as deemed export. Supply of goods to EOU, STP, EHTP, BTP. These are all export-oriented units. So any supply to goods to such export-oriented unit, because they are allowed duty-free imports, okay? So any supplies to such units are termed as deemed export supplies. Supply of capital good against an EPCG authorization, an exporter, manufacturer, exporter, applying and obtaining an EPCG license, export promotion capital goods license. If an Indian manufacturer supplies the same capital goods to that authorization holder, that manufacturer will get deemed export benefits. And supply of marine freight containers by 100% EOU, that is domestic freight container manufacturers, provided the said containers are exported out of India within 6 months or further extended period as permitted by customs on the basis of applications. And then supply of any goods to United Nations or international organizations for their official use, or supplied to projects financed by the United Nations or on the basis of international competitive basis by international organizations approved by Government of India. All these types of exports or supplies are termed as deemed export. Okay, when we look at deemed export supplies, supply of goods to projects financed by multilateral or bilateral agencies or funds as notified by Department of Economic Affairs, where legal agreement provides for tender evaluation without including customs duty. All such supplies are deemed export supplies. Supply and installation of goods and equipments that is single responsibility of turnkey contract to projects financed by multilateral or bilateral agencies or funds as notified by Department of Economic Affairs, for which bids have been invited and evaluated on the basis of delivered duty payment prices for goods manufactured abroad. And supplies covered in this paragraph shall be under international competitive bidding in accordance with the procedures of those agencies or the funds, that is the World Bank Agency. And supplies of any goods to any project for any purpose in respect of which permit import of goods at zero custom duty, subject to conditions specified by the notification, benefits of deemed export shall be available only if the supply is made under procedure of ICBs. Supply of goods requiring setting up of any mega power project, they shall be eligible for deemed benefits, provided such mega power project conforms to the threshold generating capacity specified in the said notifications. And for mega power projects, international competitive conditions should not be mandatory if the requisite quantum of power generation has been tied up through tariff-based competitive bidding, or if the project has been awarded through tariff-based competitive bidding. These are all technical issues for granting deemed export benefits. Supply of goods to nuclear power projects, provided such goods are required for setting up of any nuclear power projects, and the project should have a capacity of not less than 440 megawatt or more. And a certificate to the effect is required to be issued by an officer not below the rank of Joint Secretary to Government of India, Department of Atomic Energy. And tender is invited through national competitive bidding or ICB. That means either NCB or ICB, national competitive bidding or international competitive bidding. Thank you, friends. Yes, we have a brand India. Let's all join the bandwagon to produce world-class products. Thank you.